going on. Yep, one, two. Thanks for having me here tonight. A bit of a privilege, let me say, absolutely a privilege. Here to speak from wisdom. Does that mean you think I'm an old bloke? You're giggling, that means yes. Grey whiskers, yeah. I'd sort of seem it. I'd like to think this more as running support for Tim Owers, eh? I suppose that's when you know when you've really made it in life, eh? You're the support guy for Tim Owers. Friends, how about I pray and we'll just get down to business. Our Father in Heaven, thank you that we can be here tonight. Thank you that we have warmth and we have a roof over our head. We have heaters. Lord God, what I share with these guys tonight, I just ask and I pray that it would convict them to their hearts to want to serve you greater, to want to stick with the Christian life. And Lord, just to get the most out of what you have for our life here on earth. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What I want you to know, that's been the brief. So, I'm hoping not to speak the full amount of time. Often with testimonial kind of talks, they often raise more questions than what they answer. So, if we get a chance and if there's an opportunity at the end, I may be able to feed back to you for a couple of questions for me. But what I'd like to say to you is I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Saviour in my late 20s. And I'm now in my late 40s. So you can do the math. It's fairly easy. 20 years, nearly. Nearly 20 years I've been a Christian. And what I want you guys to know is this. That at the beginning of my Christian walk, I had absolutely no idea. No idea the breadth and the depth, the wonderful joy and the blessing that was going to come my way through relationships. Simple as that, through relationships. Relationships that have formed as a result of me putting my life in Jesus' hands, in his control, committing to the creator and the sustainer of the universe. These relationships in my Christian life were not expected. Let me just say that. And looking back now, with nearly 20 years on the clock, I just want to say that they've been a wonderful privilege. A wonderful privilege. I'm just going to talk about a couple of them tonight. Not in any great depth. But what I want you to know is this, that I believe the same is available for you guys. The same is available for you. Life is not about stuff. You eventually learn that. It's not about the career, it's not about the job, it's not about the house or the car or the motorbike, it's not about the block of land. Life's not about stuff. Life is about friendship and life is about family. And for those of us that are here tonight that love Jesus, that serve him as Lord, we're all family. Isn't that wonderful? We are all family, for those of us that are Christian. Do you know statistically that Christians live longer? You know that? They live longer. They enjoy better health. That's physical health and mental health as well. Christians have more fulfilling marriages with greater intimacy. Greater intimacy. And you know what comes with greater intimacy? Do I need to say it? Better sex life. That's what Christians have. A better sex life. Christians receive greater satisfaction from their jobs. They report that they receive greater satisfaction from their jobs. They enjoy life and they think and they find that it's a lot more meaningful. And they have more friends, excuse me, more friends and more genuine relationships than what the secular community report to have. Isn't that incredible? Why wouldn't you be a Christian? It's fantastic, isn't it? Look, on a personal level, let me just say this, that blokes aren't great communicators or sharers of personal things, are they? Are you aware of that? Look, I work and I spend a fair amount of my time in the secular world mixing with some pretty hard-nosed kind of blokes, and this is true. They're not keen to share personal stuff. But I've had some really good, solid and great friendships with Christian blokes. Things that have been shared with me and things that I've been able to actually share with other fellas are of great significance and of great depth. They've actually had some life-changing implications for some people and for myself. Now, that is just contrary to the secular world, isn't it? Blokes aren't supposed to share stuff. They're supposed to suck it up. They're supposed to go down the pub. They're supposed to booze on and or bong on and wash it all away that way, aren't they? But I have had these wonderful Christian relationships with men. No bromance here, righto? I'm just fair dinkum, good, genuine Christian relationships with blokes. That I was surprised, and I have been surprised to have. Something that I never expected. Look, I want to talk about my relationship with my wife, Tracy. It's a relationship that is based on complete honesty and trust. There's not a lot of that nowadays, is there, in the secular world? Our relationship is based on complete honesty and trust in every aspect. Look, there's not a hint of competition between us. Our relationship, I strive, I work hard to love her in the way that, in a Christ-like manner and in a way that's going to honour him. And she has a great way of living out her biblical call. Her biblical call of faithfulness and submission to her husband. Look, my relationship with my wife, I reckon, can be best summed up by the words of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says this, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." That's a fairly awesome call, isn't it? That two people become one. Two as one, close, and in a fantastic good relationship. Look, in addition to being a mate and being a husband, I also got the privilege of being a father. Now, I consider the fact that I'm in a wonderful father-son relationship. Now, Kyle, relax, buddy, wherever you are. I'm not going to say too much more, okay? I'm not going to embarrass you. But friends, I just want to tell you what an incredible privilege it is to be in a relationship with your children, to actually be able to nurture, to guide and to pray for your child. Not only to pray for them, but to pray for their youth group leaders, to pray for their teachers, to be able to pray for the school that they go to. My prayer for my son is that I want him to grow to know Jesus in a personal relationship also. I pray for his future wife. I do. I pray for his children, and I pray for his children's children. So therefore, I pray, and this relationship that we have enables me to pray for my great great-grandchildren. You're looking a bit blank. I don't pray for them by name. Of course not. What I do is I pray. What my prayer is that not one soul would perish. That every child that has now come into the family as a result of Tracy and my union and our son Kyle, that every single child would know Jesus. That not one soul would perish. The final relationship that I want to mention tonight is the one in which that I am a son. Now, the housemen have pretty poor form when it comes to fathering, so I'm not going to talk about my biological father here. But I'm more so referring to my Heavenly Father and the fact that I am his son. You see, friends, back on the 18th of August in 1991. Hang on a minute. How many of you were born then? Who weren't born, sorry, that's probably more, no, that's more overwhelming. No, I don't want to know that. Friends, back on the 8th of August 1991, my adoption was finalised. There you go, my adoption was finalised. What am I talking about? Well, let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and I'm sure that will fill in the blanks for you if there are any. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ." How awesome is that, folks? That this is what God's plan was for me. So, you know, on a fairly average winter's morning, back in a little church in the western suburbs of Sydney, what God had planned from the beginning, from the creation of the world, actually took place or was finalised. So it was at that point, on that day, that I opened the door and invited God himself into my life to be in relationship with me. All possible, and only possible, through what his son Jesus achieved on that cross at Calvary. Now, looking back now on this relationship that I've had with the Lord for 20 years, it's hard to put words to how I would describe it. One word that comes to mind is miraculous, to describe the relationship that I believe I have with the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. See, the way how my Heavenly Father has shown himself to me, has guided me and has cared for me and has adopted me as one of his sons, at times almost brings a tear to my eye. And friends, I want to say it's not a relationship that's unique to me. It's a relationship that's on offer to every single one of you here tonight. To open the door, invite Christ into your heart, and to pursue a relationship with him. Well, in wrapping up, a couple of words of guidance or application from my experience in regards to these relationships that have been a tremendous blessing to me. First thing I want to say is this, if Christianity is something that you haven't heard a lot about, if it's something that's new to you, let me encourage you to do more about it. Let me encourage you to make some inquiries. Seek out some people. There's plenty of good people here at Night Church that can sit down with you and do Christianity Explained courses or Christianity Explored, or just go and buy you a cup of coffee and chew the fat with you. But if you're somebody that knows, or you've got a sneaking suspicion that there is something out there, please, please, just ask someone about it. Pursue it. Check it out. Secondly, if you've got a fairly good idea of what Christianity is about, but yeah, you're just sort of chilling out, you're sitting back, you're thinking that you don't want to miss out, you want to have a sort of a bit each way, you don't want to cut off the world too much because you think they're having too much fun, well, it's a load of garbage. It's a load of garbage. Let me encourage you, let me urge you to put the control in one who can control and do a good job of it, Jesus, the one who's capable of running your life. Invite him into your life and allow this wonderful relationship that I've been talking about to start for you today. Don't sit back. Don't chill out. Don't keep sort of wondering for a better opportunity or a better time. Now is the time, friends. Make that step today. Put your trust in Christ and allow the start of this relationship that God has called you to begin. Thirdly, if you made a commitment to Jesus and there's sin in your life still, you're stunning the growth of this relationship. I'm going to talk straight and I'm going to talk blunt to you right now. If you're coming here, if you're going through the motions, if you're saying the prayers, if you're listening to the talks and you're going home and having sex with your girlfriend, stop it. Simple as that. Don't do it any longer because it's not the way God wants you to be living your life. That's a fairly extreme point. But if there is sin in your life, friends, please deal with it. You're stunting the growth of this relationship. Stop mucking around, get fair dinkum with God and get fair dinkum about your life with Him. Otherwise, the relationship that is on offer is being trashed. It's as simple as that. If there's sin in your life, deal with it. Friends, please, come and speak to somebody about it. We can help you through it. You might think you're the only one that's got this problem, but I can guarantee you're not. Fourthly and finally, look, I spent 22 and a half years so far going to church. I was at St. John's Mount Druitt for about a year and a half before I became a Christian. That's how the mathematics works out. So 22 and a half years I've been going to church. Do you know how many churches I've attended in that 22 and a half years? Two. Two. Who guessed? No? Yeah. This one, the Lakes, and St. John's at Mount Druitt. 22 and a half years. Look, I know some Christians that have been... 21 and a half years. Look, I know some Christians that have been to 21 and a half churches in almost 2 years. Well, it seems like that. Some of the stories I hear and I hear. But friends, relationships take time. They need time to grow. They need time to develop. So my advice, or if I was going to impart wisdom to you, is simply this. Find a good Bible teaching church and stick with it. It's as simple as that. Find a good Bible teaching church and stick with it. Make Sunday and your midweek meetings a priority. It's as simple as that. A priority that you need to plan your leisure around. What do you do on Sunday? Well, you go to church. Because that's where you come to know God. That's where you come and meet friends. That's where the prickly friends will grow you in grace. That's where the loving friends will grow you and encourage you. This is where it all happens and this is where it takes place, in church. If you're hopping around, going from this one to the next one to the next one, if you've been to 21 and a half churches in 2 years, have a bit of a stop and a think where the problem might be. You need to make a commitment, you need to find a church that teaches the Bible and you need to stick with it. How many times do you think I felt like leaving the Lakes? Tracy, don't answer that. So we've been here five and a half years we've been here now, and there's been some wonderful opportunities to get to know people, to build relationships, and to be grown in my relationship with God, because that's how He does it. That's one of the ways He does it. So plan your leisure, plan your job, and plan your life around the Sunday and your midweek meetings. Allow God to grow you in this wonderful relationship that is there and is on offer. In closing, guys, my prayer for you is this, that when you look back, when you stand at the 20-year milestone in your Christian life, my prayer for you guys is this, that I hope and I pray and I ask God that you will feel as privileged as I do, that you will have as many meaningful and purposeful relationships as I have and do experience now. I pray that your life will be fulfilled. You'll be walking the path of righteousness with the Lord and our Saviour, Jesus. Friends, that is my prayer for you. That when you get to this milestone in your life, that you'll be able to look back, you'll be able to say, far out, this is much better than what I ever thought I was getting involved in. Thank you, Lord. Time's done. Sorry. If you've got a question, grab me at the end. Thanks.